they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily to those who were being saved.
Over the course of time, Val and I, in churches, our involvement in churches, we started out in Illinois. We were just married, no kids. We started attending the church. Didn't know really too much about the church. We knew statement of faith, and we knew what they believed, and we knew that it fit with the way we believed. But we didn't know much more about the church. We attended a Bible study. I have to admit, there were times, young and whatever, long weeks. There were actually times that I dozed in a Bible study, which is almost embarrassing to admit. But I would answer a question would be thrown to me, and I would answer it. And I would, on the way home, say to Val, "Did that make any sense at all? Any sense at all?" That was the kind of my Bible study, and where we were early on in the church. We weren't too involved. We were just attending. Then we came to Connecticut, got more involved in a church. We had friends who were involved with the youth, and we started getting involved with the youth, and we learned more about the church and the church structure, what the church believed, and some of the things, the directions the church was going. Then we came to Vermont, and the involvement ratcheted up another notch. We got very heavily involved. We were very interested in knowing about the church and its goals and its values, and we became much more involved with the church. Now, at each of those stages, with us just corresponding to age, and not necessarily that wouldn't be the same for everybody else, but I think there probably are people here in the congregation today that are in one of those three stages. Not very involved, so involved, but the biggest thing is understanding and knowing what this church stands for and what the values are. What is it that this church is based on? Chris has spoken in the past couple months about some of the history of the church and some of the important events for the church as a whole. But what I want to try and address today is this church. What is it that this church, not what is it that we believe, because this is not a discussion about doctrinal statements or anything, but what are the values of this church? What is it we hold very highly? What are important things to this church? So this is going to be a little different kind of sermon. This is not, this was part of my struggle this week too, is that this is not a true sermon per se. I will have lots of scriptures that I will reference and we will take a look at, but it's not an exposition by any means. So with that, let me just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country to meet together, to worship you, to pray, to learn more of you. Lord, we just thank you for those men and women who have served in the past and are serving now, that are there to help us preserve this freedom. We just thank you for them. Lord, we just thank you for this church and for all who attend here. Lord, we thank you for the efforts that they put in, the time that they spend in serving you and each other. We just thank you for that. Lord, we just pray now that you would be with me as I speak to this topic. Just pray for clarity of thought and that I'd be able to communicate what you would have for us and for this church this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So the church's, CBC's, values and vision. Well, the first thing we have to recognize first is just that, what is at the core of what we believe? So Christ clearly is the core of everything that we do. Well, why is that? I mean, it should be pretty obvious, but I'll just touch on a couple things. First off is Christ died for us. He died for each one of us. He died for everyone who is a part of this church. He died for everyone outside of this church. Romans 5, 6. At just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Luke 19, 10. Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Romans 6, 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 5, 11. This is the testimony God has given us. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So clearly Christ at the center because Christ died for us. Secondly, Christ is the head of this church. Ephesians 5:23, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. So two very important pieces of why Christ is at the center. Thirdly, it's Christ who we worship, serve, and seek to emulate. Psalm 99:5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. Psalm 96:9, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. So clearly, worship of God, of Christ, is a key component here as well. We seek to serve Him. We're told that in John 12:26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And then lastly, we seek to imitate Him, to emulate Him. Philippians 2:5, this is a much longer passage, and this is one piece pulled out. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're taught that we should seek to be like Christ. Very difficult thing. But we should seek to be like Christ, as he in Philippians 2 says, He humbled Himself even to death on the cross. So Christ is at the center of what we believe here at CBC. Now CBC, Community Bible Church, the second most important thing after Christ in the center at the core is community. Community is something we feel very strongly about here. And Jesus commands us to love one another. Well, part of community, that's part of community, loving one another. Well, how do we do that? Here's a whole list of ways, some of which we may be very good at individually, some of which we kind of struggle with. Building each other up. Do we encourage each other? You know, it's very easy to talk about people, talk to people, and not give that last encouraging word. Do we build each other up? Do we bear one another's burdens? Important thing, in bearing Dawn Kelton's burden by supporting her in prayer. There's many other ways to bear one another's burdens. Helping, just giving of time, helping somebody out with a task that they need help with. Plenty of many ways to help bear one another's burdens. Are we kind to each other? Honoring and respecting one another? Serving each other? Do we admonish each other? A more difficult thing. Is that something that you can do? If someone is stepping out beyond where they should, part of community is admonishing one another. Confessing your sins to each other. Again, not an easy thing. And I will speak to it a little bit later with accountability. Do we have accountability to one another? Do we confess our sins to one another? Forgiving each other. Are we able to forgive each other for the hurts? We're human. I know it's hard to imagine, people will annoy me. And even more hard to imagine, I will annoy people, other people here too. Will you be able to forgive me? Am I able to forgive you? Just think of one another. How do you think of the other people in the congregation? Do you think of them highly? Do you accept each other? And do you regard each other as more important than yourself? So these are all parts of community. This is, to me, is what it looks like. In CBC, how that happens. These are some of the ways in which we feel we see it happening. Small group participation and growth. In the front of your bulletins, you will see how many? Eight different opportunities for small groups. One almost on any night of the week that's there. Different geographies, different leaders, different topics sometimes. So there's plenty of opportunities for small group participation. Community would be expressed in congregational unity. Are we unified as a congregation in the direction that we are going? It will also be seen as in equipping believers to serve and then expressing that through love in practical ways. And lastly, by growing and nurturing our children. We have a lot of kids in this congregation. How are we growing and nurturing our children as part of this congregation and part of this community? Are we growing them to see that community is a vital part of this church? So we have Christ in the center, and we have community around that, and everything we do should be seen through the lens of community. So there are three things that we value as a church. The first is discipleship. In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to make disciples of all nations. So what does a disciple look like at CBC? What do we hope that a disciple looks like at CBC? First off, that a disciple would have a holistic biblical knowledge. Not just head knowledge, but be able to apply that knowledge as well. So a detailed knowledge of the Bible. That a disciple would be accountable to other people in the congregation. That we would see that coming from people in the congregation. Brian Gill has a men's group that meets on Thursday mornings. And accountability is a very strong component of that group that meets. That a disciple would have an active prayer life. Do we have an active prayer life? Or is it just when we're called upon to fast and pray for dawn? Is it active throughout the week? A disciple would be obedient, would show obedience to God's word, to his commands. And that a disciple here would also be working to reproduce disciples elsewhere. The second very important piece of this is worship. Again, what does it look like? Now, I guess I want to differentiate here. I have a couple verses there. Psalm 2:11, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. And then Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Worship, I think we tend to think of worship as being what we do at this time period, 10:30 to noon on Sundays. That's when you worship. And I would suggest that worship is also, and I put Colossians 3:23 and 24 there, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So worship is not just about 10:30 to 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Sometimes I have a hard time saying, well, we're going to have the worship team come up and lead us. Because that, to me, sometimes implies that this is the only time that we are worshiping. So we are taking the Sunday morning at service and boiling it down to the 15 minutes that we are singing. Worship is not just about singing praise to God. Worship is more about our whole attitude and our whole our fear of God and how that is exhibited, how that is displayed toward him. It is not just the 15 minutes or the hour and a half here on a Sunday morning. It is something that should pervade everything we do throughout the week. Worship is a critical component of our whole being, and we should be displaying that and exhibiting that toward God. So worship, we want excellence in worship. We want excellence here, clearly, but excellence should be in whatever we are doing as well. Whatever we do throughout the week, there should be excellence there. Because it is a gift toward God. It is what we are giving back to God. There should be integrity. Integrity here. Integrity to God's word. Integrity in our workplace. In our dealings with other people. His word should be a major component of worship. It is on Sunday mornings. It should be a major part of our week as well. Gifts of the body. We are all given gifts. Everybody has gifts of a certain type. And people have different levels of a gift. I am not a gifted preacher. I understand Pete Daniels is. I understand that Chris is. I know other people that are gifted preachers. We are all called to exercise our gifts. I know people who have the gifts of service, and they need to use those gifts to the best of their ability. Tithes and offerings is tied in with that a little bit. Tithes talks specifically about money, but offerings is not just about money. Offerings, I was in another church that said when you became a member of that church, we would ask that you give your tithe, your talents, and your time. Time, talents, tithes. All three are part of worship. Giving back to God what is due Him. The last piece is missions. Missions. We're told to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Missions here at CBC is an important part of what we do. We have developed a number of things that we would like to see missions, how missions looks at CBC, the way we are involved in missions. And the first is we hope to develop a passion in people, in the congregation, for missions itself. After that, we have determined that there are specific types of missions that we would like to focus on. There are hundreds, if not more, of missions opportunities for people out there. The full spectrum exists for missions work of one sort or another. At CBC, we are narrowing down to several specific areas. First off is to minister to those in poverty. Now, there are two ways we hope to minister to people in poverty. One is directly to those who are impoverished. The second is to those who work with those who are impoverished. So we do support missionaries who work with the poor. So we want to focus on those in poverty. The second thing is to focus on indigenous ministries. So a lot of places, and historically this has been the route to go, is that churches would send missionaries to, say, Africa, and to do missions work. That can be effective, but it has been found that the far more effective way to reach African people is through Africans. So we want to focus on raising up people that will go and train the nationals to minister to their own people. We want to focus on those missions that will have the most effect, working through the people, the nationals of the area that we're going to. That we believe will have the greatest long-term effect and the greatest reach for missions. We also want to develop effective ways to reach our own community. We were told to go not to Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. We cannot forget our own community. We need to develop ways, effective ways to reach our own community. Lastly, we want to make sure that we are ministering to our own ministries. People that we have sent out, we want to reach out and support those missionaries that we have sent out, or the career missionaries that we have. How do we do that? Number of ways. First off is just email them. Write to them. They love to know what's going on here. They want to know, they want us to know what's going on with them. We would like to send people to visit those missionaries. We have missionaries in the Philippines. How many of us have been to the Philippines to support them? Not many. It would be a tremendous, from what I have heard, it is a tremendous thing to have a mission, to have someone come in support, to see what this person is doing in their city or in their mission. Number one, it does a couple of things. One, it lets them know that, that they're important. Somebody took the time to come and spend time with me and to see what I'm up against. I can, you all know, I can. You can write a letter to somebody and explain to somebody what's going on. But when you go there and see firsthand for yourself what they're up against, it's a whole different flavor. You know, Sue Mead can tell me and show me pictures of Haiti, but until you go to Haiti and see for yourself, pictures never quite cut it, do they? You can take a picture of a beautiful sunset and you get it back and you think, it was a lot nicer when I was there. Going and being there with a missionary means a lot, and you get a better, much better feel for what they're up against. It also, I've been told, is that when you go to visit a missionary, the people that the missionary is ministering to, they get a sense of how important you feel this missionary is and this work is, that you would be supporting that work and that effort to help them. So that's a real boost for the peoples there as well. So those are the three aspects of CBC, the values that we hold. Now I want to point out that in that circle, the red circle, missions and worship and discipleship are not, there's no nice lines that separate those. Okay? Those things are, they're not separable. Missions flows into discipleship and into worship, and discipleship flows into worship and missions. They're all interwoven. They cannot be just separated out nice and neatly and clean. This is not, we're going to have this group over here and they'll just deal with missions, and this group over here is discipleship and there the twain shall meet. That's not how it goes. They're all intercombined, interwoven. So I want to move from there to what are some of the practical implications then of these values, of these things that we feel are important. How does this, what does this come down to now in terms of where we see ourselves headed? Here's a number of things that we feel we need to improve on. Leader training, small group leaders training, and developing, continually developing leaders within the group. We need to move people forward, get people comfortable with this, bring them along in their walk with Christ so that they can assume some leadership roles within the small groups, because we feel small groups are very, very important to this church. Elder training and deaconess training, very important for the leadership as we move forward. Sunday school teacher training. We have so many kids that are involved with Sunday school and junior church, and we need to do better with training of our Sunday school teachers. Shepherding, one-on-one with people. Adult and children's Sunday school programs, as well as counseling. Visitation of new believers, members, and visitors, and training of youth and expanding the youth ministry. Now, I was recently told of an organization that I don't know if it's a full organization or what, but it's the 4:14 window. And that just says people are most receptive from the ages of four, starting at age four and for the next 14 years. So before, between 4 and 18, people are most receptive to the gospel and to becoming Christians. And the lasting commitments result in those time periods too. And we have a lot of kids. We have a lot of kids coming up through this congregation that are in that window. This is by no means an exhaustive list. This is not the full list of things that we need to improve on, that we need to work on. This is a start of things that we need to deal with. Within that list, then, or as a result of that list, what are the things that we are going to need in order to move this congregation forward to address those issues? We feel that there are two things. One would be additional staffing. A staff person, not to try and do everything. That will not work. If we expect somebody to come in and do all of those things, if we could even find anybody that's capable of doing all those things, I think it would fail. So we need someone to come in to be a supporter, someone that would be involved with training, someone would be a helper and a leader of some of these areas. So that is one opportunity. The second is physical space. We've talked about this for a number of years as well. Is this, as the congregation grows, is this sanctuary sufficient size? Just to be able to handle Pat's harvest dinners, we're at the edge of that. But what is the right type of building? Is it a new sanctuary? Is it expanding this sanctuary? Is it just multi-purpose space for more classrooms for the kids? Is it office space? What do we do with the building across the street, the house? And then parking is always an issue. So these are two of the primary things I think will have to be addressed as we go forward as the church grows. And as we try and address some of these issues. If we want to expand the youth ministry, we're limited in terms of what we can do space-wise. So what the elders have determined is that the priority is to hire staff. The rule of thumb is that, generally speaking, you would have one staff person for every 150 members of the congregation. We're about at that number. The question is, do you wait till you have 300 to hire the second person, or do you hire the second person and that person helps you grow to the 300? And our feeling is that hiring at the start and growing to that 300 is the right way to go. Why don't we close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for each person in the pew today, for those who are not here this morning, Lord, for just the many people who are active in this church, active in so many ways, giving of their time, their efforts, giving of their resources, Lord, to support the work that you have going here. Lord, we just thank you for the values that you have impressed upon this congregation. Lord, the many ways that we see these values being exhibited already, for the disciples that are being made, for the way the kids are being raised, for the emphasis on missions, and Lord, for the attitude of worship that you give to us both here on Sundays and then throughout the week. Lord, this is a big step going forward for this congregation to consider hiring another staff person. It can be a nervous time. Lord, we feel that this is the right step for this church at this point. You have blessed us with funds to be able to proceed in this direction. Lord, we just pray for wisdom in knowing that this is the route you have for us, that this is what you would have for this church. We pray you would bless this church and its efforts in ways that we can even begin to comprehend. We thank you for all that you will do, and we pray these things in your name.